Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the base number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Kate Rhodes.
I wish I had another me.
Oh, you need that much help.
I need
for
another me. But you are actually Maysoon Waswas.
That's right.
I have not mastered the science of cloning yet, and I probably never will.
That's really not in your domain.
Not my wheelhouse. We got a little tiny bit of listener feedback this week, and I want to share it immediately before my phone dies. Number one, last week we did our water pledge, and we'll get to that. Don't say anything about it yet, but I do want to say we got a nice little note in from Margaret Tedesco.
Margaret Tedesco.
Of Second Floor Projects, saying that actually it's not all about plain water, Maysoon. It's about alkali.
Did she expound on that at all?
Well, we're just bathing in acid, and we need to balance that out with alkalines or whatever. Alkalines?
Is that salt?
Well, she said lemon juice, but that sounds like acid to me.
But maybe it's a neutralizer.
But I think there was more to it than that.
I drink lemon juice every morning, Margaret, just so you know.
Just straight lemon juice?
No, I drink hot lemon water.
Well, you're probably doing great then with your pH balance.
Probably pretty good. I tell you, when I don't feel well, I drink that shit and it makes me feel much better.
You got to alkalize the water. You can add 1/2 teaspoon of lemon or 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar.
Oh.
Okay.
Right. Or you could drink a kombucha, or you could eat something something pickled.
You got to alkalize the water, according to Margaret Tedesco. And to be honest, I trust her. I trust
her.
You
would trust anything she said, I'm sure.
Yep.
Margaret, try this one out. See what you can tell Kate. See how far you can push Kate.
I was getting Maysoon pie today for her birthday because it was Maysoon's birthday on Monday.
Yay!
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And a guy walked up to me while I was waiting for the pie, and he's like, I thought he was telling me that I need to go stand in the corner. So I did.
I can't believe you stood in the corner.
Because I saw him and he had a shirt that I used to have. So I was like, we're cool.
I trust him.
Yeah, I'll go stand in the corner. And then I was standing in the corner. And then he's like, no, I said, could I get past you so I can stand in that corner?
He's like, I want the corner.
He's like, I'm not trying to shove you in the corner.
Oh. And he was like, listen, bitch, I want the corner.
Well, and then we both laughed for 20 minutes. And thank God, then the pie was good to go. And I could
then the pie was ready. And you're like, gotta go, weirdo.
It was raw.
Aww.
I really loved his shirt, though. We got another piece of listener feedback from Wofford, our longtime friend of the show. This is in response to the episode where Zoe Talaporos and Sarah Hotchkiss ran out to that tower. This is the tower that Zoe and Sarah are referring to, I'm pretty damn sure. It's the Yerba Buena Tower. She sent a little article about it from Atlas Obscura. My dad was in the Navy for a few years and knew of its existence because of this. You would bring the whole family to the base of the tower on occasion due to the amazing views, and it's been a favorite stop of mine for ages. He always referred to it as the Officers Club. I have many fond memories of this tower, having been forced from the top of it at gunpoint.
What?
And then escorted off the island by Navy police, New Year's 1997. I think the only reason I wasn't arrested was because I mentioned Dad being in the Navy, and the cops might have been unclear whether Dad was a higher-ranking officer who might have frequented the club. Although I haven't scaled the tower since then, I still drive to the top of the island to take in the view every once in a while, and have made video works in the lower portions of the island. Also, in regard to the cat artist dilemma...
Oh, I'm sure she's got something to say.
I think that there's the basic question of whether the cat's contributions are considered content as opposed to a stylistic device of convenience. And then I kind of asked her to elaborate on that, like, how do you know if it's content versus just like a formal element? Mm-hmm. So Wofford posed these four questions. So maybe we should call Jill and just ask her. I think she put her phone number in the email that she sent.
Jill. Is this Jill?
This is Jill.
Hey, Jill. This is Maysoon and Kate from Congratulations
Hi,
Pine
Jill.
Tree.
Hello. Oh, my God. I love you guys.
We don't mean to put you on the spot, but we wanted to follow up on your cat query from the other week.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh yeah, Biscuit's still painting with me every day. If I still don't really know what to do about it, I haven't decided.
Wow. It's really sweet. We loved the image you sent of Biscuit and the paintings.
I loved it more than anything.
Yeah. So we're just wondering, so it sounds like you're still kind of trying to figure out how to move forward with your question and whether or not...
Okay, hang on. Let me get Biscuit.
Okay.
He can help me answer the question.
Does Biscuit speak English?
No.
You speak to Biscuit. Biscuit understands
what... Biscuit, quiet down.
Yeah, Biscuit, listen up here. Okay, so question number one. Is it of primary importance that my cat be an integral part of the making of this work? I.e., is the cat the process?
Oh, well, it is of primary importance because I don't think I could make art if I didn't have Biscuit helping.
Do you actually make any marks on the canvas?
I sign my name at the bottom.
But you don't really do any, you don't, you do much with the paintbrush as far as outside of just signing your name.
I put the colors out and I listened to your show where you talked about it and they are totally safe. They're totally safe. They're like natural food.
Oh, good. We're so happy about that. We were very concerned for a moment.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks for confirming that. Okay. Question number two. Number two, does my cat consider itself a collaborator with an invested sense of its contribution and personal agency?
Oh, hang on, hang on. Biscuit. I think he does.
Really?
I think he does. You gotta see the look in his eye, but that's what he looks like.
Well, Biscuit's a really interesting cat. We should bring him on the show. Maybe we should interview Biscuit.
What do you think, Kate? Put him on the phone?
Please don't, Jill. I think we're good. I think we haven't done any non-human interviews yet, and I don't know if this should be the first one.
Yeah, we probably won't do a live interview with him.
But thank you, Jill.
This is fine. What's the next question? I'm ready.
Number three. Do I want people to acknowledge and respect the quasi-codependent nature of my collaborative arrangement with my cat?
Well, I would not say that it's codependent. I think we have a very healthy relationship.
But it sounds like you're certainly dependent on Biscuit for making the work. And is he? Do you feel like he's also dependent on you?
Well, yeah, I do feel like I would call it a symbiotic relationship.
Hmm. Interesting. Number four, are cat-human collaborations of theoretical significance in your oeuvre?
I mean, conceptually, I don't know. Like, I don't know really how to put that into words. I feel like I could say yes to that. Biscuit, what's that work about? You know, it's not really about the content. It's about, you know, the painting as object.
Well, Jill, it sounds like you kind of answered yes to most of those questions. So yeah. Wofford says that if you answer yes to most of them, then the cat is content. So... It sounds like you do need to have that be open.
You need to
put that information
credit the cat
out
as collaborator.
Yeah, and you know what? That could be great for you because I don't know a ton of artists that use cats to make their paintings.
No, I don't know.
And
any.
So you could kind of, you know, ride that straight to the top.
Oh my God! Thank you guys so much. I was really concerned about all this, and now that you kind of hashed it all out with me, I feel a weight been lifted.
Oh, good. That's
and
exciting.
Biscuit's really excited, too. Say bye, Biscuit. I love you guys. Thank you so much. I love this show.
Bye, Jill. Bye, Biscuit. Thanks so much
bye,
for listening.
Guys. Thank you.
Well, it's so easy to get lost in the fray these days. Gotta navigate your way through the thick haze. Follow where the brick lays, dodging cracks that way and this way. Dance through the maze.
Remember open engagement? We talked about it a couple times.
And as part of
that's
open
actually
engagement.
Shaping up to be the more things I hear about it, because I refuse to look at the schedule, but I only will hear about it organically through people.
Oh, interesting.
But Sajuks is going to be on one of the panels about like destroying the system from the inside. And some of the other ones have sounded cool, but anyhow, there's a secret pre-conference.
I know. Yeah.
that is being thrown by our number one favorite, the Art Research Center at UC Berkeley.
Run by Shani Jackson.
Shani Jaxie, who's also on the Berkeley Arts Council. And I want to go to one of their meetings because Weston Teruya is on there too and some other awesome people.
Really awesome.
And I want to go to their meetings and report on it for the show.
Sounds great. What do you think? I'm totally into it.
It's in like a basement somewhere.
Great. At a church. Some like community center. Awesome. Why not?
Anyhow, so ARC, the Art Research Center, is having this cross-sector conference. It's a pre-conference before open engagement, and freaking everyone's going to be there.
We have Andy and Deborah Rappaport,
the reptilian shapeshifters that run Minnesota Street Project.
We have Lori Fogarty from the Oakland Museum of California. Yep, she's the CEO. Laura Rakovic from the Queens Museum. Nora Silver from the Haas Center for Social Sector Leadership at UC Berkeley. Uh-huh. Dominic Wilsden, Curator of Education Public Practice at MoMA. Shani Jaxie.
We got to get her take on what nickname we should use.
Director of the Arts Research Center and Associate. Well, that's too long. Paul Ramirez. Oh, come on.
You know who she is.
You guys know.
I would put a link to a lecture I just listened
great,
to her.
Great, do it. She's awesome.
She's great.
And then the last hold on.
All right, fine.
Oh, actually, this isn't everyone. This is no reason to read
Why
this.
Why are we reading any of these? Who gives a shit?
Fuck
we
all
just
those
need
people.
The highlights. Okay, so they're doing all kinds. This sounds like a thing that would be good if you're some kind of arts admin person. There's going to be breakout sessions, which are my least favorite thing in all of like conference world.
We've done a few of those and it's been a little bit.
Sometimes they're fun, but
I actually kind of like them depending on who you're breaking out with.
And but you're expected, it's like when you, I don't know,
you have
you're
to
expected
work.
To like look at each other and like
it's good as long as it goes somewhere. For me, I always get frustrated when you like spend all this time and energy thinking about new ideas or whatever, and then you have no idea how that information is actually being used. Who is it? Who's using it? What's happening next? Are you still involved, or you're just like, thanks for the ideas, peace out? It's like, I always feel like I want more. I want that to be a clearer process than it is most of the time.
Well, the breakout sessions are going to be health, planning, and art, working city governance for the arts. That's interesting. With Moy Ng from CAST in San Francisco, and public outreach as public sector practice. In summation, the 2 days of this pre-conference conference are April 28th, and it starts at 10 that day. And this is all free, by the way. You just RSVP.
Oh, cool.
And on April 29th, also starts at 10 that day, but that day is only kind of a half day.
I want to go to this lecture by Paul Ramirez Jonas called Every Public Has a Forum.
Sweet.
It's all related.
Let's high five with our paper stacks. Oof. Nice one.
Good one.
It was a little violent.
It was just vigorous.
So go to that. It's free. Unlike open engagement, which is $9,000.
It's not. It's like $57 to go to everything.
So much. May soon.
Yeah, Kate.
I think people by now know that we're not art critics, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
But if people want a little more serious art review podcast, I recently found one called The Review Panel. Some British guy and then a bunch of like legit art critics sit around and really go totally ass deep into art that they've seen. They reviewed like the Whitney Biennial, and some of the people they've had on are like Bill Berkson and Joanna Burton and all these like really legit art scholars and whatnots. It can get a little slow, a little dry, but
Do
if that's what you're
anything?
Looking for, it could be a good nice pairing with Congratulations Pine Tree.
Are they anything like Aaron Harbor?
Aaron Harbor actually is also doing like little short segments. So if you want to really, if you want the most Aaron Harbor, you can find
the
audio version of Curiously Direct.
What was that art history one called?
Oh, it's called the Review Panel.
The art history.
But so having said all that, I went to a show. I went to a couple shows this week.
Right.
And I will now review them.
Okay, great.
I went to Anthony DeCinza's show.
Called?
Anthony DeCinza Presents a Novel, an Exhibition by Anthony DeCinza.
I love it.
It was really good. I took a lot of pictures that I'll have to review later because there was a lot of text and I couldn't read all of it.
Can you maybe talk about,
'cause I'm illiterate,
one of your favorite works in the show?
Well, it's kind of hard to break it down into just single works because the whole thing is kind of, it's a very meta, it's like, but he has like texts that he's written where he's writing from the perspective of another person also named Anthony DeCinza, where he's like reflecting on Anthony DeCinza, the artist.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and so it's like, and it's a very like kind of self-deprecating, talking about like the failings of the work. And like all this stuff in a very meta way. Mm-hmm. I liked in one of the texts, there's a thing about being in a cloud of quotation marks. I thought
that's pretty good.
I love Anthony DeCinza, and I very related to this like self-critical that you're like blanketing on layers and layers of like meta self-reflexivity and like cocooning into like these like alternate realities.
Yeah.
And then there's like another room, you know, in Catherine Clark, there's like that little media room.
Kind of, yeah, a little video room, sort of.
And there were like all these like overturned, like laid down PA speakers, like the ones that are on the little tripod stands. And they were laying on the ground, and they were all different voices that were kind of reading like the kind of like self-help or like business help, like ways to be productive.
Were the speakers and, like meditation. Face down or face up?
They were all facing in different
directions.
Yeah. Oh, I can post. I'll post in the underworld. I'll post like, I'm sure there's like somebody wrote an article and took pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
But I always love seeing his work there.
What was the piece you posted a picture of your hands?
Oh, yeah. So like there were also takeaways.
Like charcoal or something.
Uh-huh. They were takeaway like newspaper style prints with like
broadsides
pictures.
Or,
yeah. Okay. Is that what those are called?
Usually.
You know, where there it's like folded up like a newspaper and it's printed on newsprint.
Yep.
And that's a
broadside.
Got it. So point is, some of the pictures are like really printed dark black. And so I'm just walking around the gallery with this like totally basically a whole black as hell printed thing, and then I look at my hands, they're covered in like black ink or whatever.
Perfect for a white gallery
and
wall.
It all made sense.
A white walled gallery.
Everything was black. There was a lot of like black, like char looking kind of things, or like I don't know what the fuck they were. I could have spent more time and been a better art critic, but that's not how I do it.
But I
loved every part of it, and I took pictures and I look at them every night and I keep them under my pillow.
What did your the people that you went to the show, did they have any interesting feedback, insight on the show?
They liked it.
Cool.
So overall score. Maysoon, we got a listener tweet in. And the secret, a direct message, which we rarely get.
Ooh.
Asking for some advice to arts administrators having interpersonal friction in the workplace.
What did you say to them?
Nothing yet. I told them we'd talk about it on the show.
Talk about it on the show. I think the first rule of thumb is like, is it important? Like determining whether or not whatever's going on is actually important to you getting your job done. And if it's like the small potatoes, fucking let those things roll down the street. It is not worth it.
Roll,
you know what
down
I mean?
The street.
Roll down the street,
let
small
it
potatoes.
Roll right on down the
if
street.
If it's big potatoes, if it's really getting in the way of what you need to do to successfully do your work, then that's like a call for action in some way, right? And non-assertive, non-aggressive, but
assertive is okay.
Assertive, direct.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on your relationship with the person or people. If you generally have a good relationship, well, it sounds like you probably don't, actually, at this point, then I always recommend trying to work it out with that person directly first before going to like your supervisor or their supervisor, because then people get in trouble and then shit gets weird, even weirder, you know, and that you don't really want to do that.
Oh, always be direct.
So I think maybe you could go to your supervisor and say, hey, I'm having trouble with this person. I'd like to try to address it directly with them. Can you give me some advice on how to approach them? Because maybe your supervisor knows that person better than
you
do.
You wouldn't just say it to the person first?
You could, but if you felt like you really didn't know how to read this person, like they were a moving target and you kind of had no idea.
A moving target?
Or they were...
You didn't know like if they were going to come back at you with some...
Or maybe you just weren't sure what the best way to approach them. Uh-huh. Like, do you approach them with, like, flowers around everything? Where you're like, oh, hi, it's so nice to see you. Like, do you completely, like...
Do you do that?
Do you basically stroke them off until, like, before you actually get to, like, the gist of what you're trying uh-huh. to say? Or do you
kind do
of,
that? I can't imagine you doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You have to know how to communicate
like,
with
hey, girl, that blouse is jamming. Can you stop stealing all my memos out of the Xerox machine?
Totally. That's the best.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you got to give them compliments first. I love it. You got to feed them.
That's great. Okay, what are some other methods?
So, will you have any suggestions?
No, man. My approach to everything is just to suck dick.
Oh, God. She doesn't mean that, people. Not,
I mean that figuratively, of course, but...
Give us some other, like, okay, if you had
someone... I've, like, had times at work where I will, like, take the blame for somebody else's mistake.
Why?
Just because I just, like, want to be a completely benign entity. You know what I mean?
But doesn't that get you in trouble?
Yes. That's why I don't have
but
good advice.
But you don't
advice.
Want anyone else to get in trouble.
Don't do what I do, people.
I would just tread those waters lightly, carefully. Because the reality is you have to work with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make it work. Otherwise, you're going to be miserable in your job.
And you
that
need
sucks.
To be able to get your own job done. And if other right. people are impeding you in that, that's not okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I hope everyone's having a good week. I hope... Oh, the water!
Yes! How did we miss that? That's
okay, so how'd you do on your water intake? That's what we need to get to.
Okay, so from last week, it's been a week. I have done, I would say, good on, I want to say, 6 out of the 7 days.
So, like, you hit your goal?
I
think
so. What
was our goal again? 50 ounces.
That's basically, like, 2.5 of those little SIG water bottles.
Uh-huh.
Or clean canteen, those
sure,
guys.
Sure, sure.
The medium size.
Right. So you did pretty good.
Yeah, I think on Monday I was sort of, not on Tuesday, I was struggling a little bit.
Well, Maysoon, I don't think I hit the goal on any day.
But you were also, when I told you how much 50 ounces looked like, you're kind of like, oh, that's
it. I might have gotten close.
You might have.
I might have. And I had listeners texting me and encouraging me. Shout out to Sarah Dragovich.
Aw, sweet.
So, Maysoon, I would like to continue this pledge on into the next week and give it another shot. And good. Maybe we could check in again.
Try to take it more seriously this week.
Okay, thank
really
you.
Really think about it.
Oh, and I also wanted to say that May Day is coming up. There's going to be lots of protests and actions. Critical resistance is...
Maybe we can try to collect some of that for next week.
Uh-huh. Next week, we'll do a ramble. Haven't done one in a while, and we'll give you all the updates on all the things happening in the beginning of summer. Listeners, if you have shows that you would like to recommend for the ramble, please send them in to 419-351-6606. You can text them in, or you can call and leave a voicemail. That might not be the most efficient
way. Don't
do that. You can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at @PineTreePodcast. Back on critical resistance, which is one of my favorite prison abolition organizations.
I need to really get
founded
with them.
By Angela Davis.
Oh.
They're having a Stop Urban Shield town hall on Friday, April 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Eastside Arts Alliance. That is at...
What is Stop Urban Shield?
Urban Shield is a weapons expo and warlike police training that brings together law enforcement agencies from across the country and the world, including Israel.
Gross.
To learn how to better repress, criminalize, and militarize our communities. They're a key player in creating militarized emergency response systems that make police the first responders to everything from climate disasters to uprisings. But as we saw during Katrina, when public safety relies on armed emergency management, communities of color, and particularly black communities, become an emergency that needs to be controlled and managed with a military response. So join the Stop Urban Shield Coalition to learn about the fight and how to get involved. And the address there is 2277 International Boulevard, and that's in East Oakland, of course.
I'm going to that.
So, yeah, please do. This is every, yeah. It's often, Urban Shield is something that is often organized against in Oakland. So
yeah.
That's a, check that out. May Day protests are coming up.
Cool.
And next week we'll have our ramble. Please send in any events or political or art events or
it's all related.
Whatever
it's
events.
All related, people.
No Tupperware parties. Unless they're like radical Tupperware parties.
From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between.
This has been Congratulations
Pine Tree.